Every time you have a thought, it actually gets communicated through your entire nervous system. The neural connections that activate in your brain as part of that thought then send an electrical current through the rest of your nervous system, and you feel that thought as an emotion. And that determines whether you boldly take action. That determines whether you feel good about yourself. That determines whether you believe the world needs to hear your message. That determines whether or not you're in what we would call a powerful or primal state. It determines whether you feel good or you don't feel good. And those feelings will then determine what action you take. So stressed out people take stressed action. People who feel not good enough take not good enough action. People who believe the universe is working in their greatest growth, greatest prosperity, and greatest abundance, they take bold, abundant-oriented action. And so the name of the game is actually transform your belief system. Then you can transform the way you think, the way that you feel, the actions that you take, and therefore the results that you produce.
Welcome to A Changed Mind, a journey into the topics that matter to you most. From the neuroscience and spirituality of mindset and personal growth to groundbreaking strategies for health, wealth, and relationships, to open and honest conversations about pressing global issues such as the environment, censorship, corporate capture, and democracy. Each and every episode reminds us of the certainty of the goodness of the future and provides the teachings, tools, and timeless wisdom inspiring you to create real lasting change in your life and in the world. If you've been desiring a sanctuary for your spirit, a place to go to tune out the distraction, negativity, and doom and gloom so that you can tap into the deep power, the vibrancy, and the potential you have inside, you're in the right place. Welcome to A Changed Mind.
Hey, it's David. Just a quick interruption to your normally scheduled podcast. I've got an incredible opportunity for you. Big announcement that my book is now live on Amazon. A Changed Mind. Go beyond self-awareness, rewire your brain, and re-engineer your reality. If you've been wanting to take your personal growth to the next level, maybe you've done the self-help thing, but you're still feeling more stress or overwhelm or anxiety in your life. Maybe you've gotten to the next level of financial security or growth in your relationships or health or your business, but you've hit a new ceiling and you're really wanting to understand how to identify the resistance that is still inside of you that's shaping your experience of life and to let it all go and transform it so that you can truly feel free emotionally, spiritually, financially, and achieve your full potential, you've got to check out this book. I spent the last 18 months pouring all of the teachings, philosophies, tools, even processes that I've never taught before that have helped me go from a life where I was literally struggling to survive to a life now that I love in a system that lets me materialize the vision I have for my business, my family, my world, without the hustle and grind and putting my spiritual growth and well-being first. So if you've been wanting a treasure map to the emotional and material promised land that life has waiting for you, take a minute to jump on over to Amazon, grab yourself a copy of A Changed Mind, or better yet, grab a couple of copies and give them as gifts to your loved ones. The feedback is already coming in. People are saying this is one of the most practical and powerful personal development books they've ever read. And I get it because everything that's in this book is exactly what I went through, what I learned, and what I used to change my mind. Check it, grab yourself a copy, and now on to your regularly scheduled podcast episode.
Hey, it's David. Welcome back to A Changed Mind, a sanctuary for your spirit, a place where I will remind you each and every episode of the certainty of the goodness of the future. I am your friend, your host, your guide. I'm so excited for this episode. If you are somebody who has been in personal growth for a long time, you get that your thoughts are creating your reality. You understand that the work that you need to do is to clear out the resistance inside of you, but you've been having doubts, you've been having frustrations, you're creating things in your life that you don't want, like the amount of money in your bank account or the slow growth of your business or the toxic relationships that you're in or the health challenges that you're having. You are going to absolutely love this episode because what I'm going to be sharing with you is a really, really simple framework that distills down basically everything that you've ever learned in personal growth. Now, I've done this before in a variety of different ways because if you truly want to be able to integrate a changed mind at a deep level, it is important to understand the name of this game from a lot of different perspectives. But I'm going to be giving you a three-step process that's going to help simplify everything. And it doesn't matter how long you've been doing this work, how many limiting beliefs you've cleared out, how much childhood trauma you have, how long your problem has been going on, the changes you have been able to make, and then the changes that you haven't been able to make. This perspective is going to be incredibly accelerative for you. as it was for me. And in some ways, I'm going to be paying homage to a lot of different teachers through this presentation, because the truth is that anybody who is trying to share wisdom and truth through personal growth is not really doing it of their own. We're all learning from a variety of different teachers, but it's the way that we combine this that makes it accessible and enables us to create real change. Because I don't know about you, but I've been in personal growth for a long time, starting out with my drug and alcohol recovery about 13 years ago, and I have been obsessed. Of course, I've read all of the books, I've gone to the seminars, I've done the breath work. If you heard part of my story when my wife and I did our episode together back in episode 4, which is both on YouTube and on our podcast, you hear that it's a really extensive journey from meditation to breath work to plant medicine to MDMA therapy to traditional therapy to leveraging the technology of the 12-step program to doing a lot of somatic release and body work and releasing trauma at the cellular level. I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. And what we learned over the course of our journey is that there are a couple of key cornerstones that will give you access to the transformation that you're looking for, a couple of fundamental philosophies that really give you right perspective. A Buddha would talk about right thinking when you're approaching transformation. And that's what I'm going to be sharing with you today. So I'm super excited to share with you this framework. And if you're here, it's because you're wanting to create some sort of change in your life. Another way of articulating that might be that you have a goal, right? There's something that you want to actually create that doesn't exist in your reality right now, or you're experiencing the absence of something that you'd like to create and you're trying to get away from that thing. A great example would be if you're experiencing a chronic health condition right now, you're trying to get rid of the health condition and move into well-being and vibrancy in your health. If you're experiencing financial insecurity in your life right now, not enough money in your bank account, bills that are overdue, debt that is piling up, you want to be able to create financial prosperity and abundance, a lot of consistent revenue coming in, big numbers in your bank account. If you're experiencing the absence of a relationship right now, maybe you're like my wife's friend who for many, many years was, as she would describe it, as dating a bunch of frogs until she finally gave up on finding a relationship, and lo and behold, 2 weeks later she did. We'll get into the science of that during this episode. Or maybe you're in a relationship right now with someone who used to be the man or woman of your dreams, but it doesn't feel like that way, and you're wanting to restore, therefore, the passion, the connection, the intimacy. That's what you want to create. You want to get away from the separation, the argument, and the friction. No matter how you slice and dice this, ultimately, there's something that you want, and the absence of that thing is what you don't want. So you're wanting to create some change, and that's why you're here. It's not only why you're here listening to this episode, it's why you're here on this planet. Like, you came in as infinite intelligence, source energy, spirit, soul, and you got to have a physical experience. And it's this physical experience that is helping you define the things that you want and the things that you don't want, what we would call your contrast, the things that you don't want, and the preferences, what it is that you do want. I want you to understand the really simple process for how you create any type of change in your life and how you've created the life that you have. Because if you don't understand this, then you're really playing the wrong game. In other words, I'd like to explain this to you at a root cause level, not at a level of effect. What do I mean by that? Well, for example, we work with a lot of entrepreneurs and high performers. And what we find is that a lot of entrepreneurs and business owners, for example, think that if they can just find the magic pill strategy, they can grow their business. And so they go from course to course to course, or coaching program to coaching program to coaching program. They work on creating online funnels. That's a strategy. They grow their social following. That's a strategy. Content marketing is a strategy. Webinars is a strategy. Search engine optimization is a strategy. Now, artificial intelligence marketing is a strategy. And they don't end up producing the results that they want. And what they don't understand is that what determines whether you select the right strategic approach or whether you get the strategy that you're implementing to actually perform in alignment with the results that you're looking for, those come down to invisible forces. And that's why so often people get stuck, because they're paying attention to what they can see. But the root cause of what strategy you select, or the root cause of whether you get that strategy to actually work, whether it's strategies in your business, strategies in your relationships, strategies in your spiritual growth, strategies in your health and wellness, is actually your thoughts, your emotions, and your belief systems. And we know this from behavioral psychology. Behavioral psychology tells us that what you believe determines what you think on a moment-by-moment basis, and your beliefs were formed at a very early age when you had an absorbent mind, before there was a proper evaluative filter for you to go, do I actually believe this? You adopt the belief systems of other people, or you, in a moment, without actually evaluating the meaning that you were applying to an experience, created a belief about something that was going on in your life. And we know from neuroscience that the way the brain works is it starts to notice more evidence that supports the original belief, and it starts to filter out evidence that goes in opposition to the belief. So, for example, if you grew up in a family where money was hard to make or money caused problems, as you became an adult, you really only paid attention to money causing problems or money being hard to make. And any evidence that showed up in your life that was the opposite of that, you filtered out because it wasn't in alignment with the original hypothesis. So your beliefs at a very early age form how you think now as an adult, how you perceive as an adult, and essentially alters your experience of life, right? It literally creates a particular dimensional experience of your life. You can take two different people, put them in the same circumstance and situation. If they have different belief systems, they will experience that thing completely differently. And so you think how you believe, and every time you have a thought, you have an emotion. And your emotions determine what action you take. So again, just track with me here. The actions that you take in your life are determined by the emotions that you feel. And the emotions that you feel are determined by the thoughts that you have. Every time you have a thought, it actually gets communicated through your entire nervous system. The neural connections that activate in your brain as part of that thought then send an electrical current through the rest of your nervous system, and you feel that thought as an emotion. And that determines whether you boldly take action. That determines whether you feel good about yourself. That determines whether you believe the world needs to hear your message. That determines whether or not you're in what we would call a powerful or primal state. It determines whether you feel good or you don't feel good. And those feelings will then determine what action you take. So stressed out people take stressed action. People who feel not good enough take not good enough action. People who believe the universe is working in their greatest growth, greatest prosperity, and greatest abundance, they take bold, abundant-oriented action. And so the name of the game is actually transform your belief system. Then you can transform the way you think, the way that you feel, the actions that you take, and therefore the results that you produce. So these invisible forces are actually what are driving strategic selection and strategic implementation, right? But because we are so addicted to paying attention to our three-dimensional five senses experience, we look at someone else's success and we go, oh, I'll just do what they did. But what they have done may not work the same way for us, because what they chose to do when they produced the result was based on beliefs, thoughts, and emotions that were in alignment with producing the result. So if you want to create change, you have to change the way that you think. And what I want to share with you is a new lens, a very simple lens through which you can actually understand how you're creating anything in your life right now. And it's very oppositional to what we've been taught. What we've been taught is that if you have a goal or a dream or a vision, then if you hustle and grind your way to the outcome, you can produce the desired result. Or what we've been told is if you have a goal or a dream and outcome, and you have a certain amount of financial resources or health resources or time resources, you can produce the desired result. In other words, your desire is to make $1 million. And some people say it takes money to make money. So if you have enough money, then maybe you can reinvest it or put it to work to make $1 million. And if you don't have enough money, then you can't produce the desired result. This is sort of the old way of thinking, the old model. But if you look at it, the old model is still the model that we're all applying to our lives right now. So the old model said, if you're sick, find the right doctor or the perfect medicine or the perfect practitioner and you can be well. Right? That's what the old model said. The old model said, if you want to find the man or woman of your dreams, go to the gym, work out, get your body in shape, dress a particular way, use all these dating sites equals meet the man or woman of your dreams. So just notice how unconsciously addicted we become to these strategies being the bridge between our desire and the desired result. Well, that's why so few of us are actually achieving the desired result, because the strategy is not the bridge. The strategy is what you're thinking, believing, what you're thinking, and what you're feeling on a moment-by-moment basis. So the equation that we teach people who actually want to control the levers that are responsible for root cause changes in their life, and you can go back to episode 3 where I talked about this. You can watch a part of that on YouTube, and you can listen to the full episode on Spotify or iTunes on Apple. Is this equation desire plus non-resistance equals desired result? It's really, really simple. It's super, super elegant. But if you have a desire right now, I want you to think about something that you want in your life right now. Just think about it for a second. And you might be thinking about it in terms of, you know, what you no longer want, but that's okay. That helps you get clear on what you do want. Like, I don't want to be sick anymore. Okay, so your desire is to be well. I don't want to be anxious anymore. Okay, so your desire is to be calm. I don't want to be overwhelmed anymore. Okay, so your desire is for more help. I don't want to experience financial insecurity anymore. Okay, well then your desire is for financial abundance and prosperity. I don't want to be struggling with my business anymore. Okay, so your desire is for new clients and maybe some new team members so you can grow and scale your business. My desire is to no longer, I don't want to any longer work the job that I'm not passionate about. Okay, so your desire is to discover your passion and your purpose in life. I'm feeling disconnected from spirit. Okay, so your desire is to be more spiritually connected. Desire, you have a desire. What's a desire right now? Notice that this master equation says desire plus one thing will equal the desired result. And that one thing is called non-resistance. So what I'm saying here is the name of the game, if you want to be super powerful in creating change, if you want to become a master of the imaginative arts, is to start working with the invisible forces, not the magic pill strategies that are out there, not the last mile of what we see, but the root cause of what actually produces any type of goal or outcome or change in your life. And that is to be non-resistant. For your thoughts, for your emotions, and for your belief systems to actually be in alignment with the outcome that you want. A great, great, great teacher right now, has been for a while, is Abraham. And so I know, by the way, if you're listening on YouTube and you're one of my Abraham people, just give it a shout out in the comment box. But Esther Hicks is a woman who's been around for the last 30 years, and she's been channeling this intelligence known as Abraham. And Abraham is just a name, but it's basically Esther Hicks is able to get into a meditative state, a relaxed state, and she can tune in to the information that all of us are able to tune in. Every time you have a new idea, it's not your idea. It didn't come from your brain. You got into vibrational or energetic alignment with an idea that exists out there in consciousness, in the field of energy that holds everything together and that is the original source of the material world as we experience it. And you tune into that idea and you have that idea and sometimes you speak that idea. So we all channel information. None of the information is ours. It's all existing in infinite intelligence. But Esther has developed a great capacity to literally sit down and be able to have people ask her questions and for Abraham or for the information to respond. You can check her out on YouTube. People put together great 15-minute clips of Abraham Hicks. And what Abraham teaches is very in alignment with this idea of desire plus non-resistance equals desired result. And I want to share with you Abraham's perspective. We'll give it a little bit of David Baer flavor or explanation so that it doesn't sound too woo-woo, so that more people can actually buy into it. And so that more people can actually have what we would call a powerful living experience and enjoy their lives. So you can have a powerful living experience and more enjoy your life. What Abraham says is basically you came into this physical body to have physical experiences. And when you have an experience that you don't like, right? You don't like the experience of financial insecurity. You don't like the experience of being alone. You don't like the experience of having physical pain in your body. You don't like the experience of feeling challenged to grow and scale your business and impact. That the moment that you are aware of this contrasted experience, this experience that you don't desire, immediately you launch what Abraham calls a rocket of desire. So the undesired experience, meaning the problems that we all experience in our lives, they actually become catalysts for a new focus of our energy and desire into what we want to create. And that makes a lot of sense. Like if you look at your own life, we don't always know what we want, but we tend to be very aware of what we don't want. And then because we're so mind-focused and we don't know how to control our minds, the mind will then continue to obsess around the absence of what we want. It's not here. When is it going to be here? What if it never comes here? How come it's not here? What does this mean about me? Me not being good enough? How long I've tried to do this? Threats and fears that are related to the absence of this thing that I want. That's what the mind does. And so we end up living in this kind of continual, let's call it third dimensional five senses experience, meaning your current life, always focusing on the absence of the thing that we want. That's what we really, really notice. But what Abraham suggests is that simultaneously, when we have an experience that we don't like, what we've created in another dimension is what we do want. So you've created in another dimension you with extraordinary vibrant health. You've created in another dimension you with a massively grown business. You've created in another dimension an incredible soulmate relationship. You've created in another dimension a you that is so incredibly crystal clear on your spiritual purpose and vision and taking consistent action towards it and making a massive impact in the world. You've created that in another dimension. So what is this other dimension? Well, Neville Goddard, one of the great New Thought movement teachers, along with Florence Scovel Shinn, and I want to give Florence Scovel Shinn a great shout out. She's got a book called The Game of Life and collected works that have had a real impact on me. Both she and Neville interpret scripture, biblical scripture, as an explanation for how all the laws of consciousness or law of attraction or the physics of manifestation work. Two really, really great teachers. And what Neville Goddard says is, well, this other dimension is what we'd call the fourth dimension. It's the quantum field, if we were going to put it in the language of modern quantum theory. So the moment that you experience something that you don't like, even though you're not aware of it, you put off a vibration, which is basically an asking for what you do want, which is the opposite of the thing you don't want. So again, if you're bullied at like 5 years old, you experience being bullied. And then you and your physical body start paying attention to all the evidence that you could be bullied and that bullies are out there. But what also happened at an unconscious level was this vibratory output from your nervous system of confidence, strength, and safety. It was also created. It was like a boomerang effect. And that you being confident, strong, and safe, and unbullyable, that vibration became activated in the quantum field. And so what Neville Goddard talks about is everything that we're experiencing in our third dimensional reality actually began in the fourth dimension of imagination. So everything comes from the fourth dimension, the quantum field, the energy of potential. And if we're putting enough consistent attention towards that idea or feeling the emotions of that idea through the power of manifestation or materialization, we will make that idea a reality. The ideas are alive and they become material through our consistent attention and focus on them. And so some people say, yeah, but my life never changes. And it's like, yeah, because you continue to imagine your current reality over and over and over again. So even though new present moments are flowing into your life stream and into your life, they seem to be the same thing because that's what you continue to imagine. In other words, you become too addicted to the way your life currently is. And you've given up imagining or putting your attention on the vibrational potential that actually exists. It came into existence when you experienced the problem or the thing that you didn't want in the first place. But you're not giving that enough love. You're not giving it enough nurturing. You're just continuing to focus on your now moment and the problems that you have. And so you just continue to give birth to those problems over and over and over again. And that in sequence becomes your life. I like how Abraham talks about it. She says, you got to realize the present moment is old news. So the name of the game is exist in your present moment, knowing it's just an echo of the past, and direct your attention towards the future that you actually want. Now, Abraham makes this really, really simple. So she says, hey, step one is you had experiences that you didn't like when you were a child, or you're having experiences that you don't like right now. And those experiences, which you are problems, or they're things that you don't want, they are the contrast, they are invoking within you a desire. It's focusing your energy, even if you're not aware of it, towards what you do want. And you're activating the vibration or energy that's held in the quantum field or in consciousness to begin organizing all of the cooperative components in order to make that a future reality for you, in order to bring into your third dimensional five sense reality that which you are imagining or feeling in the fourth dimension. Right? You put your attention on it, it begins to coalesce, and through the power of materialization, which I'll get into in a moment, it becomes your reality. One of the cool things that Abraham says is you got to realize so far you haven't actually done anything. You haven't had to do anything consciously. You're going through life. You have an experience that you don't like. Someone cuts you off on the road. You get terminated from your job. You get a medical bill that you didn't expect. You've got a new ache or a continued ache in your body. The boyfriend you had or the girlfriend you had leaves you. These aren't experiences that we necessarily quote unquote want. But as you experience that contrast, you launch what she calls a rocket of desire, and you begin to activate through the power of the vibration of your nervous system, creating the opposite of the problem, which is actually the preferred experience. It's the dream, it's the outcome, it's the vision that you have. But no, you haven't done any of this consciously. Your nervous system just operates this way. How amazing is that? our creator, however you want to describe it, right? For me in recovery, it was a higher power of my own understanding. To me, that then became like the universe. And then eventually I developed a relationship with God. And now I'm exploring sort of this idea of Jesus or Christ consciousness. That's me in my journey, right? It could be Allah, it could be nature, it could be mathematics. But it's just this idea that there is a cooperative, collective, omniscient, omnipotent intelligence that is governing our bodies, it's governing our societies in a sense and our interactivity, it's governing the planet, it's governing the solar system, it's governing the cosmos at a macroscopic level and a microscopic level. There's an intelligence out there. And what Abraham is saying is, step one, the intelligence of your nervous system, boom, all of a sudden imprints into the quantum field of information what it is that you want. And you didn't have to do anything to do it. You didn't have to sit around and pray on it. You didn't have to sit around and ask for it 100 times. You didn't have to do a bunch of incantations or jumping jacks. Or you didn't have to keep placing the order over and over and over again. It happened once. You had an experience that you didn't like, and shazam! All of a sudden, you activated the opposite of it, which is what you do want. Just as a footnote to this, what's really cool is the degree of the discomfort equals the degree of what you've created in the quantum field, and that is waiting for you in your very near future. In other words, if you're super, 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 super sick, you created super, 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 super health. If you're super, 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 super broke, you just created an extraordinary capacity to materialize wealth. By the way, this is why we see so many people who have created extraordinary things, whether it's wealth, impact, creative arts, scientific arts, had extraordinarily difficult experiences in their life. They went from no money, homeless, living under a bridge, into billions. They went from absolute ridicule and being made fun of for their thoughts to now being considered one of the greatest geniuses in the history of the world. Why? Because those contrasted experiences are actually life's really interesting way of invoking from inside of you the desire and the vibration for the opposite of it. In fact, some people believe that you come into this life knowing exactly what you want to experience and exactly what you want to create, and then life sets you up with sort of these stepping stones to activate within you the desire. So in many ways, these challenges that you're having, Neville calls them the bridge of incidences, they show up as problems. And for many of us, it was like childhood trauma, sexual abuse, alcoholism, drug addiction. We go through these things, or being orphaned, right? But that created this desire within us so that we could become extraordinary human beings. In fact, it's kind of interesting. If you look at like most of the superheroes, like they were all orphaned. They didn't have parents. And so then they became kind of like protectors of all children, meaning humanity, right? Out of the contrast came this extraordinary desire. Step one, you're just going along with life and you're experiencing things that you call problems that aren't really problems. They're just activating a vibration inside of you. That vibration then begins to activate all the cooperative components within consciousness in order to materialize the dream, the vision, the desired outcome that is the opposite of the problem or the contrast. You didn't have to do anything for it. You're just going along through life and boom, these vibrations are responding inside of you. Abraham would say step two is also not your job. Step two is that 99.99999% of what's required to create that now new focused desire in your reality is already done. It's done at the non-physical level. And so what does that mean? Well, it means that the ideas that you would now need to have access to in order to make this new desire reality, they've been activated and you now have access to them. They may not come all immediately, but they're on their way. You're going to have the thoughts. You're going to have the ideas. The other people who you will meet along the way, what we would look back on and see in terms of the coincidences or the synchronicities, they've become activated too. So all of the moving pieces at conscious and subconscious levels, at physical and non-physical levels, immediately go into motion in order to produce the desired result, in order for you to become the next Prime Minister of Canada, in order for you to be able to create a new method of education for young people that is much better than the public school system, for you to be able to become a thought leader, teaching people tools and techniques so that they can return to the natural restorative power of their own bodies as, for example, an alternative way to, let's say, the traditional medical system. You had an experience that you didn't like. It created the opposite of that in the field. And now all of the cooperative components are being organized, and 99.9%+ of the heavy lifting is already done. By the way, that happened the moment that you experienced the problem. So far, no quote-unquote time has passed, and almost instantaneously, the moment that you experience something that you don't like, you broadcast a desire in extreme focus and clarity around what you do want to create, and all of the cooperative components necessary for the materialization or the experiencing of that in your real life reality for other people to see have been activated. Pretty amazing, isn't it? I share this with you because I want you to relax a little bit. Because the next step in all of this is actually relaxation. It's that non-resistance part of the equation I gave you. Remember, desire plus non-resistance equals desired result. I'm just explaining the physics or metaphysics of it to you. What happens when you have the desire, the vibration, how it goes out there, how it starts to interact with everything else that's conscious, all the pieces begin to move, there's a collective organization, and the process of this desire you have materializing or becoming matter or becoming physical in the physical world is almost all complete. Your last job is to actually just not be in vibrational opposition to it, to not be in thought opposition to it, to not be in emotional opposition to it. If you are in thought or emotion or vibrational opposition to it, then it cannot materialize for you, or certainly cannot materialize as easily or in as perfect a way as it is being designed. So the key is for you to begin to relax. And that's one of the reasons why I'm explaining this to you, so that you can relax. Now notice, the process isn't you have some experience that you don't like. That helps you get clarity maybe on what you do want to create. Now hustle and grind and work your ass off to go create it. That wasn't part of this equation. It wasn't, hey, you became aware of your financial insecurity, and so now what you want is financial abundance. And so now you have to desperately go seek and find the perfect wealth creation strategy and have a ton of luck in order for you to be able to create financial security for yourself. No, that's not what this formula or equation said. But just notice that these examples that I'm giving you, that's how we all think. Because we are thinking unintelligently, because we don't understand the physics, we don't understand the root cause of how all of this works, how we are powerful creators, and how our thoughts and emotions interact with the field of creation itself, and how that coordinates through ourselves and through others, timing and coincidences and synchronicities and resources that in incredibly magical and miraculous ways we're able to look back on and go like, holy shit, I had this idea and it became a reality. So the important thing now is for you to be in non-resistance. The important thing is for you to know that the thing is on its way. Now, that doesn't mean that you do nothing. That's not what I'm saying. A lot of people make the mistake of thinking metaphysics or law of attraction is about doing nothing. No. Remember, ideas have been activated in consciousness. You will be the recipient of some of those ideas. And now it's your job to take action on those ideas. Hunches, inspirations, people to call, things to do. We'll look back and probably go, wow, like if we add it all up, that was a lot of hard work. But you would say, but it wasn't hard work, because I wasn't pushing, I wasn't grinding, I was just following the hunches and the inspirations. See, whatever is held in the fourth dimension, the dimension of imagination, comes into the third dimension by way of a couple of mechanisms. So I'm going to explain to you right now about how thoughts become things. The first way that a thought becomes a thing is what I would call the internal mechanism. And that's explained by behavioral psychology. So a thought becomes a thing because you've had this contrasted experience. You don't want to be broke anymore. You want to have financial abundance. And now if you can be in non-resistance, meaning that money is not difficult to make, money is easy to make, that you are capable of being wealthy and abundant, that wealth and abundance are your birthright, that wealth and abundance are ways that you can contribute to the world versus, for example, being the root of all evil. If your belief systems can be in alignment with you being financially abundant, you will start to have thoughts in alignment with making money and making money easily. Now, if you believe, and this is why it comes back to non-resistance and your belief systems, if you believe that in order to be financially abundant, you have to sacrifice other important things in your life, like your health or your family, and you don't want to sacrifice your health or your family, then you're not going to have access to thoughts and ideas that are going to lend to you becoming financially abundant. There's an inner conflict there. There's an incongruence. There's resistance. But if you believe, for example, and I hope you do, based on how I'm explaining to you the nature of reality works, that you don't have to hustle or grind or sacrifice, that's not part of the equation, then what will happen is the internal mechanism will kick in and you'll start to have thoughts. you'll start to have thoughts about making money that'll be congruent with things that you're interested in, that will take advantage of the opportunities that are already around you that you haven't necessarily been paying attention to. And you'll have emotions that feel good. You'll be excited about making money versus thinking that you can't make money. You'll take excited, inspired action related to the belief you have that money is easy to make and the vision that you've activated around financial abundance. And then you'll produce results. And as long as you don't begin to doubt or move back into resistance when those results aren't exactly what you expected them to be the first time around, and you continue with the process, then eventually, 100% of the time, automatically, consistently, and predictably, you will, over time and a short period of time, get out of financial insecurity and into financial abundance. The mistake people make is they take score too quickly. Oh, I've been believing this thing for 30 days and I'm still not rich, so therefore money must be hard to make. So you have to give enough time. It's not a lot of time, but just notice when you've decided to have some new decision or empowering belief around something because you've been in personal growth for a while and you've started doing incantations or affirmations and it lasts 7 to 10 days and your situation hasn't changed, or something shows up that seems to be in direct opposition to this new belief system that you're trying to establish, and so you give up and you go back to beating the drum of the old limiting belief system. So this is Neville Goddard talks about. He says, stay loyal to the fourth dimension. Stay loyal to the idea that this is how it works. And so if you're willing to do that, then given enough time and not a lot of time, you will experience financial abundance and prosperity as a result of the thoughts you have, the emotions that they contribute to, the action that you take, and as long as you stay in non-resistance. Now, simultaneous to that, what's so amazing is that there's an external factor that's taking place. So it's not just your own effort producing these results, in this case, in this example that we're talking about, which is financial abundance. There's an external component, and the external component is that the moment you have this desire, other people's unconscious minds become affected, and they become driven to do things that create coincidences and synchronicities and timing in your life to also contribute to this new realization of financial abundance and prosperity for you. This is where all of a sudden a company puts out a job posting and lo and behold, it's perfect for you. And even though they have 3,000 candidates, somehow someone got yours and you connected with them and went to the same college and believe in the same things. And so even though maybe you weren't even the most qualified candidate, you got the job. Now you're making more money than you've ever made before. So there is an organization. And the reason why we call it infinite intelligence is because when you think about it, it's operating for everyone simultaneously and coordinating all of our lives, matching our vibrations and our thoughts to the realities that we're producing. But other people and external resources become activated in consciousness to help coordinate or co-create the results that you're looking for. In fact, this is probably 99.9% of it. If you look at anything that you've ever created, of course, you had to take some action. You had to do some things. And sometimes you'd look back on it and go, man, but I was very disciplined. I put in a lot of time, energy, and effort. But if you actually look at all the things external to you that needed to happen in order for that result to be produced, it's far greater than the action that you took. I look at how I met my wife. I met my wife, I guess it was 13 years ago now, in Sarasota, Florida. And I had made a decision 2 weeks before I met my wife. I had been single for almost 10 years. So that was the contrasted experience. Out of that contrasted experience, I had a desire to meet the woman of my dreams. I added a little extra ingredient to it, which was around December 27th, towards the end of the year, I decided, yeah, you know, in this new year, I'm going to meet a woman of my dreams. I feel like I'm ready. Note, by the way, the congruent belief systems. I've done a lot of work on myself. I'm capable of attracting somebody who would be amazing, who's intelligent, who's beautiful. And man, I would love it if she were Colombian. I thought Colombian women were some of the most beautiful women in the world. So at that time, I'd been going back and forth to Sarasota, Florida, which was a 2-hour drive from Orlando, getting injections in my arm because I had torn my rotator cuff for the second time and I didn't want to have another surgery. About 6 months prior, I ran into a girl that I had dated a few years before who was going through her own health challenges and said, you should go check out this guy Zane in Sarasota, Florida. So 6 months, I'm going back and forth driving every week, the 2-hour drive from Orlando to Sarasota. And one weekend, it's Zane's birthday. And so I decided to stay for the weekend. And I brought a buddy of mine down with me. Just said, hey, you want to go to Sarasota with me? I'm going to stay there for the weekend. It's this acupuncturist's birthday. My buddy gets in the car, goes with me. I said, where do you want to go for dinner? Zane says, well, let's check out this one restaurant. They were full. We couldn't go in. Let's check out this second restaurant. They had a 15-minute wait. So we're hanging out in the bar while we're waiting. And my buddy says, man, look at the group of beautiful women over there. So those are really beautiful women. He said, I get so nervous talking to women. Now, I had always gotten really nervous talking to women too, but it was like one of those things where I was kind of like one-upping him. I'm like, oh man, really? It's no big deal. Come on. So like I grabbed him by the arm and we walked across the bar and we started talking to these three women, three beautiful Colombian women, one of whom I made my wife. Now, if you look at that, there are thoughts and ideas and actions that I have to take. If I say, yeah, man, I'm too nervous to go talk to women too, and we stayed across the bar, perhaps I never would have met Carol Gutierrez Bayer. But if you look at all the things that happened external to me, man, that's 99.99999% of it. And so going back to what Abraham talks about, you have these experiences in your life that you don't prefer that invoke desires within you. That happens automatically. There's nothing that you have to do. That's step one. Step two happens instantaneously. At the same time, you activate all of the cooperative components, the ideas, the vibrations, the people who are going to be coordinated, not through your own doing, but by the doing of infinite intelligence to actually do all the external work, which is most of the work, in order for what it is that you envision or dream of to materialize into your reality. And it happens instantaneously. I want you to get this. Every time you experience something that you don't like, what is immediately instantaneously created is a thing that you do like, and what is immediately instantaneously organized are all of the cooperative components in order for it to make it happen. The only thing left for you to do is make sure that you don't have any resistance and that you are in alignment with your thoughts, your beliefs, and your emotions with that desired outcome. There's a beautiful scripture that's written about this in Isaiah 65:24. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. That's how instantaneously God or the field hears you. Even before you're actually saying it, just when you're feeling it, the answer is coming. So I wanted to share this with you because I think it gives great depth of clarity in a world that can feel chaotic, in a world that can feel oppressed, in a world that can feel unfair, in a world that feels confusing. Like if you don't understand how this game works, how can you create any change? I think there are a lot of people out there who are achieving certain things, transforming their health, creating big businesses, making an impact in the world, maybe positive, maybe negative, depending on your viewpoint, you know, who are in relationship, who are becoming more spiritually aware. It's not that we're not achieving things, but I think most people aren't aware of the mechanism by which they're actually producing results. This is the mechanism, and it's really that simple. Now, you can go deeper into some other episodes that I have. Again, I reference again episode 3 where I talk about how thoughts become things and I teach the formula of desire plus non-resistance equals desired result. And I go into the four types of resistance that we actually take our clients through a program we have called the Whole Human Framework. Your limiting beliefs, your resentments, the core program, and the absence of self-love. Those are the resistances that are inside of you that actually prevent life from coordinating and operating in the efficient way that it is meant to do in order to support you in producing the results that you want. You're the only one who can muck it up. But that's a good thing, because if you can become educated and then you can actually integrate that education into a changed mind and you can get into a practice of continuing to grow your consciousness and drop the resistance and start to surround yourself with other people who are in the practice as well, man, I mean, there isn't anything that you can't create. No matter where you are in your life right now, no matter how long the problem has been going on, no matter how someone has diagnosed it as chronic disease or a childhood trauma. I mean, listen, I know some people, they're in my programs. I have some friends who have gone through things I would not wish on anyone. I mean, some people might view that around some of the things I experienced in my own life. But all of those things are just contrasted experiences that were meant to set you up for extraordinary victory in a masterpiece life. And it's important that you start transforming or translating the meaning that you're giving those experiences. They aren't reasons why you can't achieve greatness. They are the seeds for your greatness. So you have already created so much clarity and so much activation and so much support in the fourth dimension. It's all swirling right now. And it doesn't matter how long it's been swirling, it's ready to materialize for you if you can actually drop the resistance. But it's very difficult to do that if you're just continually addicted to your third dimensional experience. Yeah, but where is it? Yeah, I've been wanting it for a while. Yeah, but it's still not here. Yeah, it's still not here because you keep focusing on the fact that it's still not here. You're in resistance. You're not tuning the beautiful nervous system you have that has the ability to call forth new opportunities and new ideas and new individuals and new circumstances and new situations. You have to tune that dial. That's what your nervous system is. You're an electrical, mechanical, vibrational being. And the way that you can tune it is, again, by understanding the root cause of how we're creating. And therefore, you might give yourself permission to relax a little bit. And it's kind of wild. It's like, Dave, you're telling me that like the key to creating more of what I want is to actually relax more and not try so hard. The key to creating what I want is to actually stop paying attention to my problems and the absence of the things that I want, which, by the way, will make me feel better because I don't enjoy paying attention to the problems or the things that I don't want. And then the things that I want will actually materialize. And yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like creation, the universe, infinite intelligence, God is kind of encouraging you to say, hey, let me handle it. I got it. You just chill. If you look at the first three steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, it basically says, I realized that I was powerless over my addiction and my life had become unmanageable. I realized that there was a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity. That's step two. And step three is I decided to allow that power to take over my life, to put my life and my will in the care of God as I understand God. The first three steps are basically, I can't, he or it can, I'll let him. And that's it. And so if you haven't been able to create the change that you're looking for, maybe it's time for you to surrender. You know, maybe it's time for you to find a 12-step program or just apply the principles that we're talking about here on A Changed Mind. I mean, we've got so many episodes that help you reorient yourself to right thinking and right perception around the laws of creation and understanding who you are. Just go deeper, whether it's me or whether with someone else, and then get your hands into it. Get around a community that's doing it. Get into some processes. Get into some programs. Begin to embody it, because if you're listening to this episode and you're still here, 44 minutes in, I know you're a seeker. I know you're a desirer. I know that there's so much bigger for you in your life right now. And I know that you're right on the doorstep of it. You're right on the doorstep of it. Now, scripture again tells us, ask and you shall what? Receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be answered to you. You know what? It's even more powerful than that. You don't even have to ask. The asking happens automatically. And the giving to you happens automatically too. The rest of it is called just enjoy your life. And when you become inspired, yes, you take action. And if you're receiving inspiration and not taking action, well, guess what? There's some resistance there. Well, what if it doesn't go right? What if I'm not the right person? So this just becomes a game, not of trying to figure things out. It becomes a game of understanding when you're in resistance and then letting the resistance go. It's very much like the sculptor with his masterpiece. The sculptor doesn't like take a bunch of blocks of clay and stack them together in a Mr. Potato Head type of face. The sculptor creates a masterpiece by taking a block of clay and removing what doesn't belong. What doesn't belong are your doubts, your fears, your resistances. Because there's no reason to doubt. There's no reason to be afraid. There's no reason to be resistant when you understand how this all works. This is the new mathematics, the better mathematics that we're all, not all of us, but some of us. If you're here, you're starting to live your life according to this. And this foundational mathematics is what's going to change the world. I did an episode on the New World Order, which you're welcome to check out. It was a really cool episode on how I explained that everything that we're seeing in terms of chaos in the world or control in the world or censorship in the world or the financial cartel, the medical cartels, the division that we see within the political environment, all of the wars, the military-industrial complex, that's all a creation of what's inside of us. Those are our fears. Those are our doubts. Those are our angers. That's thousands of years of unmetabolized, unprocessed trauma that is materializing itself, just like we create in our own lives. We're creating collectively as a society into a bunch of external shit that we don't want. Well, the way forward is to actually not try to change that. It's to detoxify ourselves of fear. Realign yourself with the truth that the Garden of Eden wasn't something from a long time ago. You were born into it. In most places in the world, all you have to do is look outside. I happen to live in a beautiful place in Puerto Rico, which was my vision. It was my dream home. I have a mountaintop retreat where I do retreats with my private clients and entertain family and friends, and I get to raise my child in nature with chickens and ducks and jungle. That was my vision. Here I am. But I can look outside. I know I was born into the Garden of Eden. So everything is working for us in our life right now. When we see all the chaos out there, that's a representation of the chaos that's inside of us. And so that's the work to do. You want to eliminate the chaos in your life, eliminate the chaotic misunderstanding inside of you and align with what I'm talking about in this episode and others. You want to support eliminating the chaos in the world, eliminate the chaos that's inside of you. If we do this one person at a time, we start producing these extraordinary individual lives around each of us. And then when all those add up, guess what? You get an amazing world. But it's time for a new mathematics. You know, in the early 1500s, they believed that the Earth was the center of the solar system. So all the scientists came together and they said, well, this is the math. And then people went, well, this is the math. And so we'll start like doing the math this way. And they were getting all kinds of bad calculations and they were fudging the math to kind of make up for things. And because, of course, at this point in time, we know that the Earth was not the center of the solar system. It was bad math, kind of like so much of the bad math we're seeing right now in the medical world. But Along came Copernicus around 1540, and he goes, hey, there's a better equation here. The equation says the sun is the center of the solar system. And now all of a sudden, all the physics worked. And so what I'm saying is that we've all been living according to bad math. The bad math is there's this chaotic external reality, and we've got to figure out a way to control it and hustle and grind our way to creating the things that we want in our life. No, that's the bad math. The new math is desire plus non-resistance equals desired result. That's the new math. And even more than that, the problems in your life are the seeds for the desires that you emanate immediately without effort, and life immediately responds and organizes 99.9% of what's required in order for you to make that a reality. The last 0.00001% is you relaxing into it. And hopefully this episode gives you some support for relaxing, because you actually now understand how it all works and you can start migrating from the bad math to the good math and start having a powerful living experience. I love you. If you love this episode, tell a friend about it. Share the gospel. We need to get as many people on board with living more intelligent lives as possible. If you're on YouTube, leave me a comment, ask me a question. If you're on one of my favorite podcast platforms, do me a favor, subscribe, leave me a rating if you have not. But just go out and start living this in your own life and then being the living embodiment for other people, and tell them where you found it. I'll see you in the next episode. Hey, it's David. One more thing. If you want to go even deeper on everything we've talked about on today's episode, don't forget to jump over to www.davidbaird.com. You can find the link in the show notes and subscribe to our newsletter. A couple of times a week, I'm going to be sending you the latest episodes that we've released along with additional free trainings. You'll get immediate access to my free Mind Hack ebook and go even deeper into all the tools, the technologies, the frameworks that have helped tens of thousands of people establish a changed mind. Don't forget to jump on over to the site, and I will see you in the next episode.